already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're live here on the Tony Fan Show, and we're in New Orleans here for the Super Bowl week. I have myself, Mr. Bibbs, on the phone. Going to talk about Texas Dallas football. Welcome to the Tony Fan Show, Mr. Bibbs. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Tony. How you doing today?
Man, Bibbs, I'm down here in New Orleans, man, and they have, I mean, the streets are blocked off, barricaded. Man, here on Radio Row, it is beautiful to be in New Orleans. The Super Bowl 2013, the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens are playing in this Super Bowl, the Harbaugh Boys. But let's get to a little bit of what's going on in Dallas the last couple weeks here. We got a couple of DUIs that done taken place. Give me a little insight on what you know about those situations.
Well, the DUI took place with defensive tackle Jay Radley. The last thing I've researched, or last thing I've heard, is that, you know, he blew a .16 on the, I guess, when you take the breathalyzer test, which is double the limit. When he was arrested,
Give me this. What is the limit there in Texas? That way, you know, the listeners can know what's the limit in Texas.
Well, our limit down here is .08.
Wow.
So with him blowing,
you say he blew a what?
.16.
Wow. .16, almost twice the limit.
Yeah, that's twice the limit, but it also took him, he refused the breathalyzer test from the beginning, so it took him about 2-3 hours later for him to actually take the blood test and for them to get the blood test or the breathalyzer test back. So during the initial arrest, he might have been a little bit more intoxicated. I'm not sure exactly what the number would have been, but, you know, anybody could see that 2 hours later, your intoxication would kind of, you know, go down slightly.
And that's correct. Now, with all the situations that happen in Dallas, with everything that's going on in Dallas, you just had a death from a defensive tackle that caused the death of another defensive tackle. And now here we go again with the backup to that defensive tackle on a DUI. What is that feeling going? What are the people feeling in Dallas when it comes down to here we are? Is it a situation where they're saying the players with the Dallas Cowboys are out of control? Or is it something they say is just something that just happened and Jerry Jones has his hand on this situation?
Okay, well, you know, people have the, from what I've been hearing, it's been a kind of, you know, 50-50 split. You know, some people are saying that the Dallas Cowboy players are out of control. Some people are saying that it's just an incident that it could have happened to anybody. He might not have been as drunk as he thought he was. He thought he was okay, not as impaired, and he was okay to drive home that night. But my personal feelings on the situation is that you make millions and millions of dollars. If you make those type of dollars, why not have a personal driver or someone that you can pay on a daily basis when you're going out or just hanging out with a buddy that can come get you and take you to wherever it is you're trying to get? That's my life. I don't understand why this is in a repeated thing with the Dallas Cowboys.
Folks, you're here on the Tony Fan Show. I'm here on Tony Fan Show. I'm Tony Fan, and we're with Mr. Bibbs, our Texas insider for the Dallas Cowboys. Bibbs, continue to elaborate on what Jerry Jones talking when he's speaking to the media about these incidents, because I know everyone in Dallas is asking about this situation, how it's going to affect Dallas next year.
Well, Jerry hasn't really spoke much about it. He's had a lot of backlash towards him saying that, like you said earlier, that his players are possibly out of control and asking him what is he going to do about it. And right now, he hasn't really gave us a sure thing on, you know, what he has in store for future incidents like this if they were supposed to happen, you know. People are saying that, you know, he needs to come up with a policy for his team, like maybe almost as if you could get cut or
released if you come up with a DUI.
Are you playing for the Dallas Cowboys? Jerry has already came out and stated that there's no way that he can do that with, you know, salary issues and different things like that. So right now I think he's really at the drawing board or at the table trying to contemplate on what he can do as far as put up a system that can, you know, help his team with these situations. I personally don't know what he's at, but I'm assuming he's going to come up with something soon, and it's going to have to be before the upcoming season.
Tell me, what are some of the needs of the Dallas Cowboys for this that they need? Is Dallas going to look at getting a quarterback? Are they looking at some point bringing in a quarterback this year?
I haven't heard much chatter about them picking a quarterback. You know, Tony Romo seems to be Jerry Jones' guy, but
correct.
The fans are pretty much over Tony Romo, but my stance on it is you really don't have anybody else in the NFL that's a free agent that's going to do better than what Tony Romo has done. But from what I've been hearing...
You said there's no one in the NFL, but now when you look at San Francisco, you look at Seattle, you look at these teams didn't worry about getting guys from the NFL. They went and grabbed young guys to continue to build on what they're building. These young guys did very well from RG3 in Washington. These guys did very well. So do you go and look at a guy in the NFL, or do you say, okay, hey, we can go with young?
I think in that case, yeah, definitely. You go out and you scout talent and you look for somebody that can possibly replace Tony Romo, if not this upcoming year, you know, within the following 2 to 3 years. Tony Romo has yet to get an extension. So next season, he'll be a free agent. And we don't know what Jerry's going to do as far as the extension is concerned. From what I've been hearing, there have been a lot of talks about the kid out of North Carolina State, last name Glennon. I've got an opportunity to see him a couple of times in college, and I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I'm not sure if he's definitely not the style of quarterback that we got to see this year with the RG3s and the Russell Wilson. Not as mobile as those quarterbacks, but he can definitely sling the ball. And I really feel like they're going to take a good hard look at him and possibly pick him up in the later rounds if he's available, possibly.
And I got to look at the guy. I got a chance to watch him. I watched some tape on him. And guy's a good quarterback, like you say, but is he that quarterback that is the new era of quarterback or what they're measuring quarterbacks on now? Everybody's getting used to the RG3. They're getting used to the Russell Wilson. They're getting used to the Cam Newton. They're getting used to a guy that can also get himself out of situations with his feet. Do you bring that type of guy in? Because they're saying, okay, we have this in Tony Romo. We want something different.
Right. And you know what? Honestly, yeah, and I definitely. That's what the NFL quarterback is transitioning over to a dual threat quarterback. A dual threat quarterback that can just run, but a dual threat quarterback that can pass first but be able to run second and be very good at it and durable at it. But and I don't think Glennon is that style of quarterback. I'm not sure.
And that's the question. Is he that type of quarterback for you? Can he get any kind of job done? Can he get the job done for you enough to where you say, okay, this is a guy that I'm looking for?
I doubt it.
We need to get done here in Dallas and to get Dallas where they need to go. I don't know if that guy can get that job done. People, how long will they say, we're going to stick with this enough? And I think they've stuck with it enough to a point to where they're saying, I don't know. We want more. The Dallas Cowboys want to be in the game. They built that stadium. They built that stadium enough to where they're saying, hey, we want to get in this big game. We want to get in the Super Bowl. We built this beautiful stadium. Why can't we get to the Super Bowl? What is holding us back from the Super Bowl? And if you look at it, the last couple of years, it's been the situation with a quarterback.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. It definitely has been a situation with the quarterback and his turnovers and, you know, not coming up big in the big games. But at the same time, I really don't know with Bill Callahan taking over the offense as the offensive coordinator this coming up season. I'm not sure if that's the style of offense that he would run, you know, just the style that, you know, Mike Shanahan put in up in Washington and what's going on in Seattle with Russell Wilson. I'm not sure if he's going to implement that style of play with the, you know, read option, the pass coming off of it. I'm really not sure if that's the style of offense he would run. He's more of a West Coast type, you know, offensive coordinator. Correct. He likes the quick passes, you know, get the ball out pretty quick. And that's pretty what he's going to need right now with the offensive line that the Cowboys have. That's a big issue with the Cowboys, and it's the offensive line. If the offensive line can't protect Tony Romo, they really won't be able to protect anybody, you know. So, you know, we saw that with Michael Vick in Philly. He's a very mobile quarterback, but he still needed some type of blocking for him to sustain or be able to stay healthy a full season, and he was unable to stay healthy. So first thing is first, you're going to have to get somebody in front of the quarterback that's going to be able to block and sustain blocks at a consistent basis. That's the first thing. Now, I also heard something about, you know, the kid Lynch out of Northern Illinois. He played in, you know, a smaller conference, so, you know, his stock is not as high as you would say the kid, some of these kids coming out of the SEC or the Big 12 or even, you know, ACC. But I've heard a little some chatter about him also, and I got the chance to see him play in one of the BCS bowls this year, and I also got a chance to see him play in some of his conference games, and he's a pretty mobile quarterback. I'm not sure if he's as mobile as you would say RG3 or as fast as an RG3, but he can get out of there and he can make some things happen out on the outside, you know, outside the tackle, you know, down the field. So I think that might be one of the people, one of the quarterbacks that the Cowboys also look at drafting this year, possibly.
Now, do you guys feel like the Dallas Cowboys feel like they need any defensive help? But when they go in this draft, trying to answer some of their defensive issues, what is one of the main positions that they're looking to go in the draft and get an impact player to help them with their defense?
Defensive line is a must right now. You know, with the Cowboys switching from a 334 to a 43, you need defensive linemen. Specifically, you need deep tackles and you need defensive ends. And with Anthony Spencer, a free agent this year, and last year he was a franchise player. I'm not sure if the Cowboys are going to, you know, go back and try to franchise him again or even sign him to a long-term contract. I personally would try my best to, just because he's been around for a while and he's a pretty decent player. He also made the Pro Bowl this year, but the price tag might be too high. The Cowboys are in a situation right now as far as their, you know, the cap, the salary cap, and they were also penalized, you know, what, $10 million last year, them and the Washington Redskins for, you know, some illegal things that they supposedly did by, you know, with the NFL. So right now, I would say the Cowboys definitely are looking for a defensive lineman, maybe, you know, a linebacker or two within the draft. As far as
you're
secondary,
on
I'm not sure about the secondary.
Your salary cap issues, how will that help the Dallas Cowboys get back to the prominence? Or would Dallas ever be able to get back to the prominence? You're listening here on the live on the Tony Sands Show. We're live on Radio Row out here in New Orleans, people. We're in Radio Row in New Orleans. It is a great time. You're going to see the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens kick off. Now, let's get back a little bit and let's talk about the salary cap. Give me some insight on, do you have a good idea, a good grasp on how high over the salary cap is the Dallas Cowboys to where they say, okay, we can get a first-round draft pick at the defensive line, and we're able to not go so far over it? Because we're already in the red. You say the Cowboys are already in the red when it comes to the salary cap. How does that affect them for drafting other positions on their defensive end that they need to address?
Well, the salary cap is going to play a major role this year as far as free agency goes and as far as the draft goes. I really, well, you know, I wouldn't say as far as the draft. With the, you know, the new CBA rules and stuff as far as, you know, drafting rookies, they're not getting as paid as much as they used to. So I definitely feel like the Cowboys should be able to, you know, make a solid draft choice, and they should be able to, you know, deal with that as far as the salary cap issue goes. But when it comes down to these big-time, you know, free agent players that have already established themselves in the NFL, I don't think it's really looking very good for the Cowboys as far as going out and getting one of those types of players. I've heard some thoughts about Henry Melton, defensive tackle that plays for the Chicago Bears last season. He's a pretty good defensive tackle, very athletic. I know in college he played running back. And for him to be able to transition over to running back, he definitely has to be some type of great athlete of transitioning from running back to the defensive tackle. But back to that salary cap issue, the Cowboys are over the salary cap right now. And it's going to take some great maneuvering within their team. They might have to release a couple of players. You know,
you said release players. Who do you think, in order to clear up some salary cap space, do they change someone's contract, or do they say, okay, at this point, you don't want to change contract, we got to let you go because we got to get under this salary cap in order for us to move forward here in 2013. Give me some players that you think that they're going to look to either restructure contracts or automatically just outright and release, that it won't hurt them even if they release a guy.
That's the tricky part right there when it comes to the salary cap issue. You know, if you release a player that, you know, maybe didn't have such a good season last year, like a Doug Free, the right offensive tackle. He had a so-so season. I wouldn't even say so-so. He had a terrible season in my eyes. And he would be the first person that I would think that they would try to either restructure his contract or possibly release him. With releasing him, you would take a salary cap hit. So
now, check this out. Now, you know, the Miami Dolphins possibly, this rumor happens, they may release Jake Long. But you say, okay, I don't want to draft and get a quality offensive guy. I go and try to acquire Jake Long once they come to the conclusion with the Miami Dolphins. Either they release him and they know they can't, or they try to trade him off in the draft. Do the Dallas Cowboys pay interest, or do they say, you know what, that's not the way we want to go. We want to go a young guy, so someone that we could continue to build at the offensive line position. Do you see Jake Long as being a guy that can help them early and right away?
But I personally think Jake Long is a pretty good offensive tackle. And if it was left to me, I would definitely, you know, try and see what I can do as far as acquiring him to come in and probably solidify my offensive line. I haven't heard anything about the Cowboys actually trying to go out and get him per se, but I'm pretty sure if he is released by the Miami Dolphins in the near future, or, you know, sometime coming leading up to the season, the Cowboys would definitely take some interest in trying to, you know, acquire him. But like I said, that salary cap issue is the main issue with the Cowboys right now. They have to fill a lot of holes on defense with them transitioning over from a 3-4 to the 43, and they also have to fill some holes on the offensive line. So, like I said, it's going to take some general manager, which is Jerry, and, you know, his staff is going to have to sit down and really have to, you know, make some adjustments as far as the salary cap issue. Also, another player I think that could possibly be his contract can be restructured is Orlando Scandrick, slot corner. I think he signed a contract about $32 million, but he hadn't played $32 million worth of football. You know, he hadn't made enough plays to, you know, make that much money, but I definitely think that he will be one of those players that they have to sit down with and try to restructure his deal and see about, you know, him making a little less money than what he is, so they can, you know, bring in some other players that can actually help the team get back to that promised land, like you said earlier.
Because the people in Texas remember the glory days, and they're wondering, when are they going to see a winning playoff when you're getting back to the NFC Championship? Here it is. The 49ers are back because the 49ers and the Cowboys used to battle in those glory days in the 90s when the Cowboys were considered America's team here in the United States when it comes to football? Do we see them making strides to get back to that name of America's team, or have the Cowboys step back and everybody else, like the San Francisco 49ers, have these teams move that much ahead of the Dallas Cowboys? And I know Jerry is getting restless because he stated there will be some restless days at Valley Ranch until they get this thing together. So Bill, give me some closing remarks when it comes to what you think and how you see the Dallas Cowboys fanning out, because we gotta head to our insider with the Denver Broncos, so we're live here on Radio Row, and we're bringing you NFL football here on the Tony Sands Show. So give us a closing for those that are listening in the Texas area. What do you think the Dallas Cowboys will wind up when it comes to next year?
Well, it'll be a transition season for them. I don't really think they'll be, you know, they might end up 8-8 again, personally. That's my personal opinion. Some people might think I'm wrong, but I honestly think they might end up 8-8. It's going to be new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, a lot of holes to fill. You know, with that, with all those right there, I don't really see the Cowboys doing much, you know, within the NFL as of next year. Now, the following year, not to get too far down the line, I think that they'll be okay. Monty Kiffin is a great defensive coordinator. I think Bill Callahan is a pretty good offensive coordinator. If they can put it all together, then they'll be in the playoffs and they'll be able to fight just like, you know, the San Francisco 49ers and get back to that promised land soon. But as of next year, I don't see it happening. And I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. I love the Cowboys, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't see it happening as of next year.
Now, you said defensive side of the ball, but now you made some positions on the offensive side of the ball also. Who's your offensive coordinator?
You said who's my offensive coordinator?
Who will be the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys? Your boy has been relieved of the duties by Jerry Jones, and now the offensive coordinator, your new offensive coordinator, comes in with a little baggage from this Tim Brown situation that he threw the Super Bowl for his guy to win. How's that playing out in Dallas?
Oh, man. I haven't heard too many negative things towards Bill Callahan as far as that's concerned, but I when I heard that news, I was kind of like, wow, would you really sabotage the Super Bowl? I mean, coaches and players fight, you know, years and years to get to that game. And they only might get one opportunity to play in it. So I really doubt that he would have sabotaged the Super Bowl. But, you know, coming from an ex-player, an ex-All-Pro player, a great player like Tim Brown, and also Jerry Rice, kind of hard not to believe that, you know, he might have sabotaged the Super Bowl. Might not have tried to. It might not have been his intent to sabotage it, but in some type of way he might have. But, you know, I don't really think that's going to really care much as far as him in Dallas. I really don't. In my heart, I don't really think that'll care much in Dallas. If he's here to win and his team is behind him, then, you know, I'm all for it.
That's what I'm saying. If the team's behind him, the guys believe in him, you guys can feel, I see the Cowboys making, hopefully becoming better than 8-8. I hope you're not going to settle for 8-8. I know with the move that he's going to make this offseason, he's going to make sure that they do not get back to 8-8. Guys, you're live here on the Tony Sands Show, and that was Mr. B, our Dallas, Texas, for the Cowboys, our insider. Now we're going to head to B. I'm going to check with you later, man. We got to head to Denver. We got to talk to our Denver insider and see what's going on with the situation with Peyton Manning not helping the Denver Broncos get to this game. And we're here on Radio Row talking about, and that is the Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers. Do we have our man on the line, Vaughn? What's going on, man?
Everything is fantastic, Tony. Happy Super Bowl week, brother. How you feel?
Man, it's beautiful when you get the Tony Sands Show here on Radio Row. 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. Let's get into a little bit of the way the Denver Broncos ended their season, and how do you see it playing out for next year with Peyton Manning? Is Peyton Manning saying, hey, this is burnt and deep inside of me with the way that game ended, to where, hey, I got to get to this game? Because I'm going to tell you, coming back from San Antonio, I was on the plane with Peyton Manning's dad. And we were discussing some things, because he was already making plans for the Super Bowl, because he thought Peyton was going to be in the Super Bowl. What is going on out in Denver Lane when it comes to what it's going to take to get you guys to this game?
Well, Tony, you know, first of all, the 13-3 season by the Denver Broncos, unfortunately, as you just mentioned, came to an unceremonious end. And to be honest with you, out in Denver right now, fans are still frustrated. I mean, the loss still hurts. You know, the way that this team lost in epic fashion, you know, to be only moments away from actually being able to go to the AFC Championship game and actually having it, you know, pulled from beneath you with Raheem Moore pass. And then, as you know, we all saw it go into double overtime as the Baltimore Ravens, you know, pursued and outlasted the Denver Broncos. Out in Denver right now, Tony, fans are still upset about the loss. And as we start to look methodically toward the 2013 season, you know, Broncos, the players, the organization, and the fans all know that basically they've lost a major opportunity, window of opportunity, to possibly not only go to the Super Bowl and win it, but next year Champ Bailey will be 1 year older and Peyton Manning will be as also. So the window of opportunity is that much narrower than it was last year.
Even smaller. Your window has shrunken because your player has got your players, your key components to your offense and your defense, like you said, they have gotten older. Now, do you ride that, still ride that same emotion that started out with Peyton Manning coming to the Broncos, with all the emotion and that? Are you guys going to be able to carry it over for next year? Because like I say, Peyton's getting older. Do you guys look to go in the draft and say, okay, we fouled up when we went with this Tim Tebow thing? What kind of quarterback do you guys go at for the future? Do you go after you a Russell? Do you go after you a RG3? Colin Kaepernick? Do you go after this type of quarterback, or do you go after the same type of quarterback that you have Peyton Manning, that can drop back and just gunsling it? Or do you go after a guy that can also gunsling it, but also get out of trouble with the speed? Do you see the Denver Broncos trying to go in that direction for the future?
Well, you know, I think that this team is prepared the way that John Elway has orchestrated the roster right now. I think that this team is prepared to get back to the next spot. I think they're prepared to get back to a 13-3, 12-4 type of a season next year. I think they have the ability to win the AFC Western Division again, being that the division is still a weak division, although it's got some coaching changes, as we've seen. I think the Broncos will still be able to get back to their spot. I think that through the draft and free agency, the Broncos will have one more year with Peyton Manning and Champ Bailey to try to capitalize and win a championship. Now, in reference to the future, the Broncos, John Elway, drafted last year a gentleman by the name of Brock Osweiler out of the University of Arizona State. And the young man is 6'7", and he has a rifle of an arm. I've watched this kid, Tony, in college. I was loving Osweiler at the University of Arizona State. He put up big numbers there. The kid is totally a pro-style quarterback, drop back. He's not a, you know, an elusive Kaepernick type of a guy, but Elway handpicked this guy. And, you know, John Elway, one of the most prolific, best quarterbacks ever to play the game, handpicked him. I think the Broncos have confidence after next season. Once Peyton Manning retires at the end of next season, I believe, I think they can give the keys to the car, so to speak, to Brock Osweiler.
But now you stated that this is a drop back guy. But with the way the NFL is going now, you're seeing the pistol offense starting to take place, to where I can pull it in, put it into the running back's belly, pull it out. If the defensive line sucks in, if he stay out, I give it to the running back. Can this type of quarterback that the Broncos have, can he help you guys run that type of offense, or do you guys just let him drop back like Peyton Manning? And these guys nowadays are coming off these defensive ends, they're flying. Do you want a guy that can help you all the way around?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question right now. I think that Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, those type quarterbacks who are very elusive and have very good accurate arms versus the conventional quarterbacks of a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning, a Ben Roethlisberger, those guys who have limited to no mobility. But it's interesting because Joe Flacco has to come into the equation now because Joe Flacco's in the Super Bowl against a quarterback who's very elusive, but Joe Flacco's not a very elusive quarterback, you know?
Now it
comes to the question of which quarterback will be the quarterback of the future, so to speak. And I think that we're going to see on Sunday which quarterback will still reign supreme or which quarterback will it be a changing of the guard, possibly.
Now, when you say quarterbacks, you're looking at you're looking at a guy that only played 10 games, per se, here in the NFL. I mean, you're looking
right.
at a guy like Flacco who's taken his team to this point before, but it was a team that was built up more to where the defense was being praised for their success. Now, you're saying this will be the direction that the new NFL will go in. If Kaepernick wins this game, everybody wants to go to that pistol-type offense, or they say, you know what, that was just a fad. So the NFL do go in and out these fads that they go through. They go through phases of changing defenses, changing offenses. Do they say, okay, you know what, we found that type of offense, that the pistol can only take you so far, but the true conventional offense that the NFL is used to running is the drop back. We're going to stick to that. We're going back to that type of quarterback. Or have the Russell Wilson put the Peyton Manning type of quarterback in the cellar. What do you
think? I think, you know, I personally believe, Tony, that, you know, I think that it's exactly what you said. I think if Colin Kaepernick wins, I think it puts all the quarterbacks who have the mobility, scrambling, accurate passing, great mobility, you know, good workmanship, good leader. I think those type of guys will be able to become, you know, they're going to possibly be the more prevalent quarterback of the future, and I think teams will convert, and that will, as you mentioned, will be the new fad. However, if Joe Flacco puts up a big game, 300 yards passing, 2-3 touchdowns, MVP of the Super Bowl, I think that we'll then say that we'll have to wait and still give this pistol offense or this new style of quarterback more time to still develop before we actually say this is the quarterback of the future.
You're live here on the Tony Sands Show, live here on Radio Row in New Orleans. Man, it's beautiful when you can have the Tony Sands Show on Radio Row. We talked about it some years ago, and it has happened for this 2013 Super Bowl here in New Orleans. One thing about it, though, it's not as crowded, and I know it's early in the week because here it is on a Wednesday, as Indianapolis was on a Wednesday. Do you think people say, okay, we're going to get in here a little late, or due to the fact that New Orleans is so spread out, it thins the crowd control out? Or is, what do you think? Think it's early at this point? Because I'm not seeing as many people as I saw in Indianapolis on this same day on a Wednesday. How do you see that as playing out? Is something you're saying that you think people are coming in late? Do you think we will see any of the Denver Broncos fans here in New Orleans?
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting concept. I think that maybe New Orleans may be spread out in a way that they have the events and everything constructed this year. I think that it may be giving the impression that the event is a little spread out. Now, I also think that the events, unlike Indianapolis and Dallas, as we remember, I think those events started a little earlier in the week and there were more of a whole week festive type of a thing. I think this New Orleans thing is going to get started. You know, it's going to get ramped up tomorrow. Friday will be festive. Saturday will be real big. And I think Sunday, as you know, is Super Bowl Sunday.
And like I said, it's a little nippy. It's a little nippy. Nothing like Dallas. I find it to be Indianapolis weather was even better than New Orleans weather right at this point. You know, it was a little nippy. When I got off the plane, even my plane wasn't as crowded. When I flew to Indy, my plane was crowded. I was, you know, it was a crowded flight. Coming out of Miami today, a Wednesday, the crowd. The flight was not that packed. But I'm going to tell you, even on my bus ride to Radio Row, I was sitting with Coach Charlie Strong, and me and Coach talked a lot about the game of football. About the game of football. He was here on business. He's here on business. He got a speaking engagement. And as he said, he tells his young guys, this is the game. If you're playing this game and you want to continue to play, this is the type of game and atmosphere that you want to get in. Because he takes now, he's here, and I told him, I said, Coach, you did a great job with Louisville. A great, great job with Louisville, and you turned that program around. And I asked him, I said, Coach, now who do you think going to win this game? You know, he played that coach role. But I said, Coach, this is Tony Sands. Now give it to me straight. What do you think? And he was pulling for the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
You know, he pulled for Ray Lewis. He said he would love to see a guy like him go out on top. But now there's been question that Ray might not retire. Now, Ray used as motivation.
What's that? I found that to be a little odd also. I mean, where's this talk of Ray Lewis coming from, of him not retiring? I think that's a little odd. After Ray said what he said and everything, I would be shocked if Ray came back. Would you?
I think I'm gonna tell you something. I look at this Super Bowl and I say, okay, now if Ray wins, is it easier to walk away in retirement as a winner or as a loser? If they lose this game, do Ray want to go out a loser? Do you go out a loser? It's easy to go out on top, but it's tough to walk away from this game when the confetti is not falling on your head. And you remember, he talked about that on ESPN when they interviewed him, and he said, the guy, he put up the picture and said, what do you see? I see the confetti. If
right.
you don't see the confetti, and it's falling down for the San Francisco 49ers, do you still talk about walking away from the game that you love so much and that you played for so long and that brought you so much success? Do you walk away from it that easy?
An interesting question. I think Ray's going to have a unique answer for that. I think he's come to a place in his life where he seems at peace that this is his last run, and I think that being his son is going to be going to the University of Miami as a linebacker. I think
Correct.
Ray wants to get more involved and give more back to possibly his family now in relation to his football family. I also think allegation of Ray Lewis possibly using this deer antler substance to be able to come back and recover from his injury that he occurred a couple weeks ago. I think that's a compelling story, and I think it's I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I find it odd that this is coming out now, Tony.
But you know, there's so many stories that come out around the Super Bowl, rather it be about San Francisco 49ers with the sexual assault, or is about the Baltimore Ravens and Ray Lewis may retire. Does that add more excitement and spice to the game? You think people just throw this stuff out? We, the media, sometimes tend to push this thing because we want an exciting game. And I think this is
right.
going to be one of those exciting Super Bowls that we haven't seen in a while because of the youth that is in this game. With
right.
Ray being as old as he is, you got to figure Ray played against San Francisco's coach. So that lets
right.
you know how long Ray's been in the game.
That's true.
He didn't win or lose, Ray walks away from the game.
That's true.
It's tough still, me as an athlete, and I've played this game a long time, to walk away from this game as a loser. I find that it's going to be hard for him. We thought we'd seen him cry. Guys, we didn't see him cry enough, but I think we'll see him cry of disappointment if the Baltimore Ravens do not win another Super Bowl, because just to get here is not the ultimate goal, folks. Just to get here to this point here in New Orleans, Super Bowl 2013 is just not enough for a guy like Ray Lewis to just get here. Some of the younger guys that are, rookies, just to get here for them is exciting. But a guy like Ray Lewis that has been there and understand what this game means, I don't think it's enough for him. And I think he is going to still be a hard pill to swallow. and I don't think he announced definitely that he is retiring in the press conference that will be the post-game press conference for this game. I don't think he is. I don't think he announced it. And I think he's going to take a little time to sit on it and wonder, do you really want to retire? And when you said, do you really retire as a loser because you didn't win the game, and ultimately, you know, is either a winner or you're the first loser. And that's what second place is to me, the first loser. Here on the Tony Fan Show, I'm talking with my guy Vaughn, who is the insider for the Denver Broncos. He knows everything about it. That's why we bring him here on the Tony Fan Show each and every week, man. Man, it's exciting anytime I can get a guy of your caliber on the show, but it's exciting that we were able to get here on Radio Row because it's not easy getting on Radio Row. Let people know how tough it is to get here on Radio Row.
Oh, listen, Tony. It's not only the Super Bowl for football, but it's the Super Bowl for media. I mean, if you're on Radio Row and you're down in that location, it shows your authenticity to the sport and to your genre and to what your craft is. And it's just, you know, an unprecedented moment to be able to be here, Radio Row, live and direct at the Super Bowl and on the Tony Sands Show. You can't go wrong.
And this, you know, because we got to put the meeting. You met on Radio Row.
That's right.
We met on Radio Row, and ever since that day, we have been talking with each other back and forth constantly, and we said at some point, we want to get to this point where we have our own show here on Radio Row. We are here this year, and we will be looking forward to trying to get in New York because we come to your neck of the woods next year.
That's right. It's going to be fantastic, Tony. You know we're going to do it again next year, as always.
What is a cold game? Now, this is different for the NFL. They ventured into an area of cold. It could possibly be freezing cold, snow all over the place. Does that hurt the game when I say taking a Super Bowl north, that far north, when Super Bowls are normally meant to be played in the South in good weather? We head to New York, New Jersey, and we don't know what that weather is like around this time of the year. Does it hurt the NFL brand, or does it help it?
I think it hurts the NFL brand in the long run. I mean, you know, if the NFL lucks out, Tony, and gets, you know, the Green Bay Packers against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, obviously both teams could be able to adjust. They play in that type of climate. I think it still would be a pretty good football game. But now if we flip it on the other side, let's say we get the New Orleans Saints, who's a dome football team, and let's say they're playing, hypothetically speaking, the San Diego Chargers or the Houston Texans. I mean, those two teams can't adapt to that type of climate. You know, we're talking 10 degrees, 15 degrees outside. You know, quarterbacks unable to be able to grip the football. The ground is going to be wet possibly at that time of the year. So I think in the long run, Tony, I think it hurts the brand to be able to put players of the greatest game of all time in that element. But now let's also flip it also. I mean, if you really think about it, football is a game to be played outside. You know, we as kids, we'd always go outside, whether it rained or it was a sunny day outside. We still wanted to go out and still play the game of football. So I guess in the long run, it's still going to come down to being football, and I guess guys and teams will have to adjust. But I think it hurts the brand because you want your greatest game, your most pivotal game, to be played in the most ideal elements.
But when I say not so much, you know, the football is going to be played regardless. That's got to go. And they there's some type of weather that is forbids it not to take place to the when it comes to detriment, when it comes to a risk for the players. But for the surrounding things that go on with the Super Bowl, so much going on with the Super Bowl, so much festivity, people doing events, does it hurt where people say, you know, I'm not spending that kind of money. And there's a possibility to be snowed in and tough to get around. Or do New York say, you know what, being that we have this Super Bowl, we're going to show the rest of the country that regardless of what weather we got, we will be prepared for it. You got to remember, 2 years ago, Dallas wasn't prepared for that.
Right. Well, I think that New York City I think New York City would be totally prepared in terms of transportation, in terms of snow plows in the event we were to get bombarded with a nor'easter big snowstorm. I think we're totally prepared for that. However, I think it's a nightmare for the brand, Tony, because the stadium, a lot of fans don't know that the stadium is in East Rutherford, New Jersey. New York City is across the Hudson River into New York City. So you're going to have to commute back and forth between the East Rutherford, New Jersey, into New York City, where you're going to be staying in hotels and things of that nature, and want to be taking in the New York life, you know, on that side of the water. But then all the other events are going to be going on across the water, closer to the stadium. I think logistical, Tony, it's going to be the worst thing that you could ever imagine, and I think it will be detrimental to the brand in the long run.
And that's the one thing that I speak on, and I say, how long will the NFL say we're going to continue to experiment? Like I call this an experiment. I don't call it something that they're going to stay with long term. I think it's an experiment to see just how long this is going to work, or if it is going to work. I don't see it working out, because if the weather is bad, people are not going to spend that kind of money to go and enjoy that atmosphere, because one thing about it, you don't want to party in cold weather. It doesn't bring people out. When you're talking about having one in South Florida, and that's why the Miami Dolphins are right now asking Dade County for funds to redo Joe Robbie Stadium, because they won't, you know, it was told to them that they would never get a Super Bowl back there unless they redo the stadium, and they're asking for that. The owner said he would put up half the money because he understands what a Super Bowl will bring to the city of Miami. And I think once he does that, I think it's going to be hands down, because people loved it when it was in Miami. It was everything. People love being on South Beach, because South Beach is right now the new Hollywood of the United States. South Beach is that.
That's right.
You know, so we're live here on the Tony Sands Show. We're wrapping up our show. We're on Radio Row, man. It's not easy to be on Radio Row, but it is beautiful to be here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking to my main man, Vaughn. Vaughn, give me some closing remarks on how you seen this game played out.
Well, Tony, I'd be honest with you. I think there are going to be many intangibles, like David Akers is the kicker for the San Francisco 49ers, who has not had a good season so far, has been shaky in the past. I think that the kicking game is going to be a factor in the long run. I think that that's going to be an element. And I also don't normally like to use injuries as an intangible when I'm thinking about a game or trying to come up with a conclusion for a game. But I'll tell you this. I really think that the Baltimore Ravens defense is going to actually put out one of the offensive stars for the 49ers. Now, I don't know if it's Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, or Crabtree, but one of the four guys, I think, early in this football game, the Ravens defense are going to set the tone by possibly putting out one of the 49ers star players, which is going to set the tone for the Ravens winning this football game, in my opinion. I like the Baltimore Ravens 26-16, and I think that the running game is going to be vital, and I think Joe Flacco is going to have another amazing day as he goes 9-0 in the playoffs, wins him a Super Bowl, and becomes the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Wow, so you're saying if the Baltimore Ravens put out one of the San Francisco 49ers guys, San Francisco cannot bounce back. It will hurt them that much that Baltimore will win this game hands down once that takes place. But now, what if it don't take place? Do the San Francisco 49ers handle their business, and Colin Kaepernick is not even, he's a young guy that this atmosphere seems not to bother him. It's like these young guys are used to being on the big stage, especially that college football has emerged so much. They're used to being on the big stage, that this Super Bowl game doesn't seem to bother this young man. And I think this young man wants to set the tone that the type of quarterback that he is the way that the NFL should go, and that this will help other young upcoming I see this game playing out, San Francisco coming to New Orleans, beating Baltimore Ravens, and I see Ray Lewis walking off still thinking, should he or shouldn't he retire? Guys, we're leaving you here with that. That's my guy, Vaughn. He's talking to you. I'm leaving you with that here on the Tony Sands Show. Find out on Sunday, do Ray Lewis get the confetti on his head, or do Colin Kaepernick take the San Francisco 49ers to their sixth Super Bowl? We'll leave live here on Radio Row. We're signing off. My main man, B, is with me, who will be with me each and every week. We got to get into some of the basketball stuff after this
game. Wait, my brother. I can't wait as always, Tony. You know that.
Playoffs. Practice. Listen, as we tell you, practice, we talk about the New York football because New York is known for being the mecca of West. Basketball?
Basketball, sir. That's right.
Basketball is key.
We'll have to get into my Kobe Bryant next time, though, Tony. We'll have to get into Kobe Bryant.
Man, we're shipping gifts, man. This show is shipping gifts, man. We got to get into basketball. We got to get into basketball. Can Kobe coexist with the way that the Lakers are trying to go? Or do the Lakers start dumping players to get to where they're going to go? Or do they fire their coach early? Do the Lakers fire two coaches in 1 year? You'll learn that here next on. Next week on Tony Sands Show B, let's get ready to talk Kobe and basketball, LeBron, and the Miami Heat.
You know
we're
it, Tony.
Off here on the Tony Sands Show live on Radio Row. We're going to take it, guys, each and every week here on the Tony Sands Show, Wednesday, 8 to 9 o'clock, getting a chance to talk to myself, my man B, as we talk. What? Basketball next week on the Tony Sands Show. I'm signing off. Love you. Peace to my family back in South Florida, my wife and everybody. Tony Sands is on Radio Row and enjoying doing the Tony Sands Show. Love you. Peace. And bye-bye.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raiders in the world, that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.